stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, May 21st. The time is just a couple minutes past 10 a.m. We are here in the Fan Run studios, ready for a great day, because I got to be honest, when we were sitting there going through the show notes and stuff for today, I was, you know, Brandon and I and Charlie, we were compiling the stories for today. And I got about a couple minutes left until showtime, and really started thinking, we got some good sports for the first time in a good amount of time. We got a wide variety of sports. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, and I'm excited for it. But let me get these guys in here real quick. To my left is Brandon Orrick. To my right is Charlie Collier, and of course we're in the process of getting the wires connected. Chance Collins joins the show as well. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Fantastic.
Good morning, Rick. Doing great.
Welcome back.
More than can be said for yesterday.
What?
I said more than can be said for yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're happy you're back. We just are. Happy you're back, safe and sound. You're like our little baby boy, our little baby bird. Welcome back.
I don't view you as that, Charlie.
Okay. Okay. What do you view me as, Brandon?
Charlie. Charlie the intern.
Yes.
Charlie the friend.
There you go.
Not Charlie the baby bird.
I appreciate that. I think I don't know. I feel like the baby bird thing had good intentions.
I mean, it really wasn't meant to be broken down this much. It was kind of just a joke.
Is Chance there?
We're just sitting on it. Chancellor, right. Good morning.
Let me turn him on. There we go.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm feeling good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I'm excited. I mean, it's a Thursday. I don't know if it's going to rain. It's maybe a little bit cloudy outside, but nonetheless.
You have a $4 weather app, and you don't know if it's going to rain.
No, it hasn't told me yet.
Wow.
It hasn't told me yet.
Also, you told us it was going to rain all week, and it really hasn't rained that much this week.
Yeah.
You might need to get a new weather app.
I think it's rained every day. I mean, I didn't say it was just going to be a downpour every day.
Well, when you say it's going to rain all week,
so
it kind of gives off the impression
that... He's not wrong. It has rained all week, though.
Has it, though?
Yes, it rained Monday.
I mean, yeah, I didn't say it was going to rain.
When did it rain yesterday?
Maybe you would know if you would have been awake.
When did it rain yesterday?
Maybe it rained overnight, so it rained early in the morning.
No, yesterday was I'll say about 8 o'clock last night. Rain came through.
That is true. I was driving around working.
I don't remember that.
In Farragut, at least. There was some rain. Here's what I figured out about, and I don't want to stay on the app for more than 30 seconds, because we really do got some good stuff to talk about today. Here's what I've realized about the app. I've had it for about a month. Still a great $4 spent. Can anybody look up what the weather is right now and it be accurate? Absolutely. But what I've noticed about my app, what I will not let you haters and losers bring me down on, is that it really does give me pretty good notifications about when it's going to rain and when it's going to stop raining. And as someone who feels like I'm out of the house a pretty good amount, then I like it. And it is useful on weeks like this where it does just sporadically rain throughout the week. And I do have to bring a rain jacket or an umbrella places I go. I will not let you haters and losers stand in my way anymore.
Wow. Losers, huh?
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm sorry. Sorry. You forgive me?
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, please. So Tennessee got a big recruit out of nowhere last night. How about that?
Pretty good.
And not just
pretty good.
Not just any recruit, too. Your fifth highest ranked recruit of the class. 23 commits, and your fifth highest ranked just walked through the door at 10 o'clock last night, just out of the blue, with a video on Twitter. How about that?
Yeah, this is the, like, this is, I'm okay with this guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
The one last week, or whenever it was,
yeah,
over the weekend.
Yeah. I think you see, with a guy like that, I think you see potential, you see long-term depth, you know, you see somebody who is going to be a project, but maybe, you know, on the upswing, certainly, but a guy like Marley, who committed yesterday, I mean, he's a stud. A day one stud.
Doesn't even look like he's visited in any of these schools. At least not yet. But, I mean, offered by Florida, Kentucky, NC State, North Carolina, Ohio State, Penn State, South Carolina, A&M. He's got quite a few offers. Pretty good offers, too.
Yeah.
Four-star, I think is like the number eight athlete in the class, something like that.
The fifth overall athlete in the class.
Fifth.
A four-star from North Carolina in the 2021 class, Kamen Marley. Again, he commits to Tennessee late last night. Again, just kind of out of the blue, just dropped that video on Twitter. But it got a lot of Tennessee fans excited very, very, very quickly. And I think rightfully so. I think this is a guy who can bring a major X factor. And he is listed as an athlete. We will tell you why that is at the other side of the break. But this is a guy who, man, is immediately one of those great additions to the class. And obviously so. I mean, he's highly ranked and he's a star player and he's very versatile. But the momentum just continues for Tennessee. Another one rolls in, another great recruit to talk about, and we will give you all the information you need to know on four-star Kamen Marley, the athlete from North Carolina, coming up next right here on The Blitz. Watch it now, here he comes, he doesn't look a bit. Don't get me started, love, I've had too much to drink. All right, back here on The Blitz, 1017 AM, Rick, Brandon, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you as we are making our way through the show today. Hey, I want to quickly say thank you to Weston Brown for coming in here and jumping on the show yesterday. Had a great time seeing him. He was in town, so it was fun to have him back in studio. One day, we got to get the both of you to meet because, man, I think you guys would have a lot of fun.
Yeah, Fish, if you're listening right now, I was really excited to meet you, really looking forward to it, and unfortunately, you know, certain circumstances prevented that, and I'm sorry.
What happened? Why didn't you meet the Fish?
Well, he was here yesterday, and I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I was just wondering what happened. That's all.
So we are very thankful for Weston taking that time out and hanging out with us for a little bit. But, guys, want to talk about Kamen Marley, Tennessee's newest recruit. Four-star athlete, ranked just a little bit above 0.93 on 247 Sports Composite. The number fifth overall athlete in the nation. The number eighth player in the state of North Carolina, according to the 247 Sports Composite. Brand, you were talking about his offer list, and certainly an impressive one, I think. Florida, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio State, Penn State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, just to name a few.
Is this another kid in the 2021 class?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as impressive as some of the other guys that we've been recruiting. I mean,
sure.
But still, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, you've got Ohio State, Tennessee, and North Carolina, who are 1, 2, and 3 in the recruiting rankings right now. You throw in Florida and Penn State, South Carolina. It's not a bad list.
Yeah, not at all.
A&M.
So here's the thing with this guy is when we say athlete, it really is because that's just what he is. I think one of the interesting things about him is that he doesn't play one position, and he really doesn't even play just two positions. He is a guy who is about as versatile as it gets on the football field. It says here that we know that he's played wide receiver, running back, and safety in high school. He's also played special teams. He's a punter as well. Get you a running back and a wide receiver and a safety who can always punt. I hear that's a good formula in college football.
I would love to utilize him as a punter.
I mean, what if he's just what if he's a stud?
Like, if he's good enough to punt at a college level, you might as well just also use him as your punter. You can save a roster spot. It opens the door for some really interesting vague punts. Let's do it.
Maybe. And I think all that kind of comes together to say that, you know, nobody really knows what position he's going to play because there's going to be so many options available towards him. Like, I think we can obviously sit here, and we probably will, and talk about what positions we think he might be best at, or maybe what positions we think are in need of a player of his caliber. But I think the fact of the matter is that when he gets to campus, I think they're gonna really kind of explore what he can do on the football field and then kind of decide where he's going to go. We've seen reports that, you know, he could stay with being a wide receiver, potentially an outside linebacker, potentially a defensive back, as in a safety or a corner. This guy can just do a lot of different things as such a great athlete on the football field that we don't even know what it's going to be right now.
I would lean toward him playing defense. You know, prove it in this coaching staff. They love defense. They like to, you know, get their defensive backs that can do this and do that. I think he provides you the option to play him as a safety, but a very versatile one that can play like an outside linebacker at times up in the box, or, you know, play like a corner at times as well. You know, I know the people at 24/7 were kind of questioning his ability as a receiver, you know, to get separation and to run routes more crisp, because the guys that he are playing right now in North Carolina really are hard to give you a good read on just how athletic, you know, Marley is, because, you know, the talent discrepancy is just so wide. But I would like to see him at safety.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to see kind of all the different routes they could go with. And that's another big thing when you look at just Tennessee's overall class in general. You know, they're stacking up on some of these positions, and it's going to be really interesting to see kind of who does what. I think that's what actually been a theme throughout, you know, Tennessee's recruiting season is, you know, getting guys who are not just one position kind of guys, right? They can come in here and we can really work and see what they have. I know that, you know, one of the guys that Tennessee had gotten earlier in the week, I'm trying to think about who it was. I don't know. The name's not coming to me right off the top of my head, but, you know, there's a lot of versatility on this team and on this 2021 recruiting class right here, and I think you see that. So it's going to be fun to see where these guys end up.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, I think they're recruiting guys that are versatile and can play different positions, building depth. So, I mean, I don't necessarily remember, but I've heard Bear and Russell talk about how what Fulmer did was, especially on the defensive side of the ball, he would recruit kind of oversized or like bigger linebackers and then move them down to play on the line, and recruit bigger safeties and defensive backs and move them to linebacker.
Yeah.
Just to kind of boost team speed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's kind of what they're doing. just get bigger. And I mean, this guy can play all over the field. So,
well, and I mean, you got to think and combine what you're saying, what you know, what Fulmer's general mindset on it is, and what we know about what Pruitt wants to do at the team. And I think that makes a lot of sense, right? These two guys together want to get the team bigger and stronger. And I think you are certainly seeing that on the field. But in the skill positions where you have them in wide receiver and running back and cornerback, you still have so much speed and athleticism on the outside that you're not sacrificing anything by, you know, having so much size on the inside. Having size for your inside linebackers, having size down there on the line, you know, you are really building a complete defense. And I know that's just the defense that we're talking about and the recruit that we got yesterday. Marley, you know, can certainly do so much on the football field, and we're trying to see where he's going to go. If speed is a concern, like you said, Charlie, then...
I think it's more of an unknown than necessarily
okay.
a concern.
I think that's probably a much better way to put it. I might have put those words in your mouth. But if it is unknown, then I think I might be with you and lean maybe more towards a defensive guy, maybe more in this linebacker spot. But, you know, we're really building this depth there in on the linebackers, for the defensive backs, for the wide receivers. It's going to be exciting to see what group he is going to add to, because I think whichever one of those groups it is, instant upgrade when Marley hits the field.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So that is the fifth highest ranked recruit in the 2021 class right now. Let's see. 865-546-8200. Let's go over to these phone lines right now. It's a good day. Just got a brand new recruit, Kamen Marley, the 4-star athlete. We'll get a call from Phil right now to talk about it probably a little bit. Good morning, Phil. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Fabulous.
Man, how are you?
I'm hanging good. In there. How's Brandon and Chuck doing?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Doing great, Phil.
Did I really hear a fillet on there yesterday?
You really did?
Wow.
You really did?
Guess I should have called in. I was too busy.
I know. We were surprised. I think he was looking forward to it, but we'll have to take a rain check.
Okay. What, fillet back in town?
He was visiting. He was visiting for a wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, hope he has a good time. Guys, that is a big pickup last night. That guy, supposedly he came to Knoxville yesterday, didn't he? And because I saw him on the that VolQuest thing, and he was being interviewed, and he was on the campus. I guess nobody was there, though.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. It says that we had only offered him at the beginning of February, so I think that things have moved fairly quickly, you know, between Tennessee and Kamen Marley. And, Brandon, you had talked about that, too, just a second ago in passing was, you know, he hasn't really visited a lot of these other schools. He hasn't really, you know, I don't think he's taken many visits, or at least I'm not seeing many.
I don't think he's taken one.
I don't think he's taken any official ones. Just a bunch of offers, and then he commits to Tennessee you know, after he gets the offer on February 1st, he commits last night. So this has been a very short recruitment. I wonder if that does play any play out in any further a bit in the long run, but interesting.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's had a good track record of putting DBs in the NFL, but this guy, he could be a receiver too.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, or a kick returner. I mean, that guy...
And I'll tell you what, man, like I go through the different reports and I like to see what people are saying and what, you know, and very highly respected people. And I think that genuinely, like the common line is that there's a lot of people that think he could play a lot of different positions. I think people are just like, I think that's the most exciting part. Is that you really are going to be able to use him wherever you need him the most.
Yeah, and they're getting a point where they're getting people that can play multiple positions. Of course, I guess in the secondary, you could play all four positions, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you had a talented and athletic defensive back, he can certainly kind of swing around the circle, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it looks good.
Hey, how about this? Do you think that this is playing into anything of it? Because he did get his offer on February 1st. He only had one offer since from April on April 17th from Georgia Tech. Do you think this is one of those situations that we've been talking about a little bit where, you know, people see that Tennessee's filling up and they want to be a part of it? Because he has had it looks like a little bit of a shorter recruitment. I mean, certainly at least his contact with Tennessee, but maybe this is another one of those examples of great, talented players in the country, top 100 players according to Rivals, seeing what's going on at Tennessee, seeing the momentum, and realizing, hey, I don't really want to miss out on that. Let's go ahead and let's sign on the line. Like, let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, he's pretty much been in Tennessee's barn for about a month, and I guess he's just now, you know, wanting to pull the trigger, like you said, because of what you just talked about. And you look at it, well, they got 23 commitments now?
Yep, 23.
And how many are they going to take, 25?
Around there.
I wouldn't think that you'd have too many more than 25.
Can you oversign and just let...
Well, I mean, Butch Jones used to oversign all the time.
Saban does that a lot, doesn't he? Like, just throws out, like, the blue shirts and whatever those are.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways around it.
I mean, didn't Alabama get, like, a decently rated four-star to blue shirt or gray shirt 2 years ago?
Yeah, they did. That's what I'm saying. Saban does it all the time. He always oversigns.
Yeah, so, I mean, you see a lot of these teams that sign these top classes that'll get some of these three stars earlier. And then as the class goes on, and if they see they're going to get more talented guys, they'll get them to gray shirt or to blue shirt or kind of nudge them in a different direction.
I mean, and think about who Pruitt's learning all his, you know, or excuse me, learned all his recruiting prowess from. Those kind of schools.
Well, I think part of it, I'm glad Chance chimed in because I didn't realize Chance was on there. Sorry about that, Chance. But you look at what Pruitt's done, bringing Jay Graham and the obvious, what's that, starts with an O?
Osovet.
Yeah.
Osovet. And then Brombaugh and the other guy. I mean, they've just
Felton.
Jacked up. They jacked the recruiting up.
Yeah. It's a different level of recruiting. And I mean, you've already seen it pay off for a lot of those guys. But, I mean, Jay Graham especially, I mean, being from North Carolina, this kid that we just got, Colby Smith, Jalen Wright, just those three alone, just all three from North Carolina, that Graham has kind of helped bring in.
Brandon, does Jay Graham being Marley's lead recruiter, does that kind of make you think that there's any chance that, you know, running back is a good possibility for the future?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I certainly think it's in question. I think you could find that.
I think he'd be a DB or a receiver, but you never have enough good athletes, and
yeah,
we've been devoid of athletes in that secondary pretty much for 10 years. Well, we've had here and there of decent players, but it's funny, the players we've had here are better in the NFL than they were in college. During
yeah,
this time frame.
Something seems funny about that, huh?
Yeah. Did you see where Tennessee picked 11th in the country in preseason basketball?
Actually, no.
Well, it's on there. You just need to look it up.
Huh.
Come out yesterday.
I feel like that's about right.
Yeah, 11? I'll take it, won't you? That's what, you're a three seed if you end up 11th?
Yeah. I'll take it.
I just hope we have football and basketball because they got to pay for all this stuff. I don't see how you can. Are they going to come back June the 1st? Is that the thing?
So that's interesting because that's the very next conversation we're about to get
into. Okay, I'll let y'all get on to it. But
is what's Fulmer going to do, right? He was the only really outspoken one from the reports we heard. Is he actually going to wait the extra time if everybody else goes up on June 1st? I don't know.
Well, just get the football and basketball players over, and that's all I could care about the rest of the crap later. You know what I mean?
I'd imagine that, that happens as well.
See you guys.
Hey, thank you for the call, as always. Yeah, Phil just alluded to it. The NCAA made a huge decision yesterday regarding football and men's and women's basketball and their return to campus, and it is going to happen. What are we? About 10 days away from that happening? 11 days away? We'll give you all those details and more coming up on the other side of the break. 865-546-8200 is your number to call in. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, feeling good, feeling great. Phil mentioned a second ago that Tennessee was ranked 11th in one of those way too early college basketball polls. We did find that, and we will be talking about that coming up here in about 25 minutes, right at 11 o'clock at the start of the second hour. And actually, Phil had that number off by one. Tennessee was not ranked as 11th way too early college basketball preseason top 10, or top whatever. They were ranked 10th. In the country. So according to NBC Sports right now, you're projected as a top 10 basketball team heading into the year next year.
I mean, I think that's about where everybody expected, I think. I mean, it's where the expectations are for next year.
And I think that's the kind of expectations we're going to hold that team to. But we'll save that conversation for a minute. Again, that the rest of that is coming up at 11 o'clock, so you won't want to miss it. But until then, let's see. Oh, that's what it was. So the NCAA. So the NCAA made a huge decision yesterday. So take you back a couple months, right? At the beginning of when the pandemic happened, the NCAA Division I Council basically came together and they banned all on-campus athletic activities, right? And that moratorium was set to expire on May 31st. That's why the June 1st date has come up in so many conversations since then. So yesterday, they voted to allow voluntary on-campus athletic activities to resume in football and men's and women's basketball starting June 1st. Here is what Council Chair M. Grace Calhoun, or the athletic director at Penn, had to say. We encourage each school to use its discretion to make the best decisions possible for basketball and football student-athletes within the appropriate resocialization framework. Allowing the voluntary athletics activity acknowledges that reopening our campuses will be an individual decision, but should be based on advice from medical experts. One way or another, in its simplest form, it means this. The NCAA is now allowing schools to hold its voluntary on-campus workouts for football and basketball teams starting in 10 days, basically.
No surprise.
We're here.
No surprise. Right thing to do.
We're finally here. I mean, I think this is genuinely it. Like, I think, and maybe this moment came for you guys earlier, but I think for me, this is the first genuine, true light at the end of the tunnel for college football, at least. Right? We've heard a lot of reports, but for me, this is the first definitive thing, as in, all right, yes. There is now approval. This is now going to happen. It's not just likely to happen. It's not being just considered. It's now 11 days away.
Well, I mean, they had set May 31st as kind of the date, like suspend all activities until this date. And as that's gotten closer, you've had the SEC and other schools that are pretty determined to play. Before the NCAA had made a decision whether or not that May 31st would be the end or whether or not they would extend that date. And I think instead of piss the SEC off or any other conference or school, I think they made the right decision. If a school does, basically they're leaving it up to the schools.
Yeah, and I think that's best.
Yeah, I mean that's what it should be. I mean, if the NCAA would have extended it, I think the SEC still would have played. I think they would have just said to hell with the NCAA.
I think you would have. I'm with you there.
I think they would have still had players return in a couple weeks, and I think you'd have football. And I think that would have been a big deal.
And man, this it really does make so much sense to leave it up to the schools, because obviously we've seen in Knoxville that I don't know about you guys, but I believe that Knoxville could certainly hold, you know, football workouts right now. I have no doubt about it. But then, you know, maybe you take a school like Syracuse, right, up in New York, or maybe you take a school like SMU that's right in the heart of Dallas, and maybe they aren't ready to reopen. Maybe they aren't ready to get things back going, so they don't have to, right? But for the schools that can, and we're all progressing towards the same goal of getting the schools to where they need to be, well, then you can allow those schools to go ahead and start that process a little bit earlier and go ahead and start doing that. I think this was the best decision. This is the decision we've been waiting for. And as long as you want college football and you're ready for it to happen, I think this is anything but good news. Or, yeah, nothing but good news.
Yeah, I think this just – things have been trending in the right direction for the college football season to be played, and this is just another huge thing to make it look like, okay, look, we're going to play college football this season. It's likely going to happen on time. The biggest question now is, to me, is not whether we're playing, it's whether there will be fans and in what capacity. Because things are looking really good for the college football season to be played.
Yeah, and I mean, let's go ahead and talk about that too. Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith said Wednesday that his athletic department has run several social distancing models to consider having fans in the stands at games this fall. And Ohio Stadium, with a normal capacity of more than 100,000, would hold a crowd closer to 20,000 to 22,000 fans and up to 40 to 50,000, quote, if guidelines are relaxed. So certainly you have a school like Ohio State, one of the perennial powerhouse schools, and they're openly coming out and saying, hey, we got a plan. We think we can do 20 to 22. And if that gets relaxed by the time that, I don't know, September, no, October, November rolls around, we feel like we get 40 to 50. And it just makes me think that if those schools are making these models and if they're making these plans, then they have to have some kind of high knowledge of the situation, that they're making those plans for a reason, that they're not just making them for completely nothing and that they're never going to get used. Maybe they don't end up getting used. I don't know. But I mean, something tells me that they're making them to use them eventually.
I mean, you've got to have a plan. You can't just go on assuming not being able to have fans. I mean, you know how much money is at stake.
Yeah.
If they can't have fans, so yeah, they're going through every possible scenario for them to have fans, and if they can't ultimately have fans at the end of the day, then I mean you just can't. But it's better obviously to have a plan than to not. So Ohio State, I don't know. I'm still not sure if we'll have fans or not.
I'm starting to think in places around the South where things have already been reopening for a while that they might just open it back up and you give season ticket holders the opportunity to get complete refund for their tickets, so they don't feel like they're losing that financial burden if they don't want to go. But then you just give everyone the choice. If you feel safe and comfortable going, you can go. And if you don't, you can stay home.
You think like schools and universities would require fans to wear masks? I think they would.
I do too.
Maybe.
And I wonder if that would be a hindrance to people. I don't think it would. Like, I think if you told people for a little while, like, hey, we're doing everything we can to get you back in the stands. We already have, you know, let's say 22,000 of you. We've gotten this. We want to get to 50. You know, maybe we can even make that happen in 2 months, but we just got to have fans wear a mask for a little while. Would that be a big hindrance to you? I don't know. I don't think it'd be a big deal.
I mean, if you want to go to the game and it's what you got to do, you get over it. I mean, I mean, it's what you got to do.
I mean, it feels unnecessary, but if it's what you need to, you know, make the optics of everything look better, have people wear masks, go ahead, wear a mask.
Do you think it's about optics, though, when to get people to wear? I think they're just, like, trying to, you know, keep it from spreading. I mean, you put a bunch of people in a stadium, I think the least of their worries is wearing the damn mask. Like, just wear it.
I do think that you'd have a lot of people who would, I ain't wearing a mask. Oh, yeah. But, I mean.
But that's what's happening now. Like, those people, like, I'm sorry. They're stupid. I mean, like, be glad that you get to go out. Be glad that you don't live in a third world country. Like, I don't have a lot about that. I just think people like that are stupid. Like, you should be happy that things are opening back up and you're allowed to. Who cares if you got to wear your damn mask? Just do it.
I mean, if it's that big of a deal for you to want to go to a college football game, if they say, oh, you got to wear a mask. Yeah. I mean, I'll wear a mask if I got
to
get.
Exactly. Like, why not? Like, that's the silliest part. Like, if we get to the point where it's like, you can go to the game, and then people are still griping and complaining, that's what gets me. Like, things are opening back up, but you're still griping because, like, somebody got shot over telling somebody to wear a mask last week. I know we don't talk about a lot of stuff like that, but a security guard got shot over asking somebody to wear a mask and killed. So, like, I just think, like, people got to be happy if they do allow fans back in. I don't think that we're going to get fans, though.
I mean, would it suck to have to wear a mask when Tennessee is playing Furman week one and it's hot as hell in Neyland Stadium and it's like 90 degrees and you're sweating? Yeah. Yeah. But if you don't want to go, don't go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't go then. It's like the people that were begging to get back out. Well, if you don't want to get it back out, then stay inside. If you don't want to wear the damn mask, then don't go to the game. I'll be very surprised if we get fans. I know that's like Jim Harbaugh came out the other day and was like, no, if it means football, if no fans, let's play football. I think most people just want football, right? Like, let's not get so hung up on the fans.
I think we're trending towards fans in a limited capacity in some regions.
I think so, too. I think football is a definite. Yeah. I think getting football back is, I won't say 100%, but I'd put it at least 95.
And from what I've kind of just realized from watching different parts of society and watching our city, it does seem like certain areas, and obviously some areas certainly can't do this, but certain areas I think are trending towards, you know, kind of what Charlie, what you were saying, just allowing at least the choice. Hey, just because fans are allowed back in the stadium certainly doesn't mean that everybody has to go, right? But it's at least kind of saying, hey, it's a similar thing to a restaurant. If you want to go out to a restaurant tonight, you can certainly do that, but that's your choice, right? And no one's requiring anyone to do anything. I think, to me, that's what I've seen a trend in certain areas. But either way, man, it all comes back together. Only 11 days away, the NCAA Council voted voluntary workouts starting June 1st for whoever wants to. We got more coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. My true religion doesn't know. I turned a corner in my soul down that red dirt road. It's where I drank my first 10:52,
final segment of hour number one here on The Blitz. Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, Brandon Orrick. Well, Rick, NASA has found evidence of something rather crazy.
Rather crazy, you say?
Yeah.
All right.
You want the headline?
Yes.
NASA scientists detect evidence of parallel universe where time runs backwards.
Time. Parallel.
What?
Parallel, but it runs backwards.
So, hypothetically, we could break into this universe and go back and look at their history to see our own future?
A group of NASA scientists working on an experiment in Antarctica have detected evidence of a parallel universe where the rules of physics are the opposite of our own. The experts used a giant balloon to carry NASA's Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, or ANITA, high above Antarctica, where the frigid dry air provided the perfect environment with little to no radio noise to distort its findings. Low-energy subatomic neutrinos, I don't know what that is, big scientific stuff.
Yeah, just a big word.
Can pass completely through Earth. Yeah, these little particles pass straight through Earth. But higher energy objects are stopped by the solid matter of our planet. That means The high energy particles can only be detected coming down from space, but the team's ANITA, the antenna thing, detected heavier particles, so-called TUA.
What?
Tagovailoa.
T-A-U, tau, tu, I don't know, which come up out of the Earth.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. These, all right. The findings imply that these
My
particles are actually traveling backward in time.
What?
Suggesting evidence of a parallel universe.
All right, so this is the Benjamin Button universe.
Apparently.
That's what I think we can codename it, right? Codename Benjamin Button.
I mean, could. You could.
Can something really be... I guess it can, right? It's like a two-lane street, right? You can have something be running parallel, but in opposite directions, if that makes sense.
So...
Does that mean that there's a point in the middle where they're the same exact thing at the same exact time for one split second? Do you know what I mean?
No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, that's exactly what
okay,
it means.
But
you were very correct here. You were
right,
on to
so
something.
There's two cars going at each other, Bryn, right?
Mm-hmm.
One's going in reverse, and one's going forward.
Yeah.
There is a split second in time where they're the exact same thing at the exact same time. Right?
Right.
So where is that moment for us? With this parallel universe that goes backwards in time. Do we have that moment? Is there anything that's going to happen? What if that was like the Big Bang or something? What if that was some big moment?
Can I just propose one thing
wow.
real quick before
wow.
we...
I know. We're deep thinking now. Yes.
My head hurts.
For all the scientists out there that find these parallel universes and whatnot and all the other fancy stuff...
You got a message for them?
Just let them alone. We don't need to know about them. We don't need to participate in them. We don't need to try to go in them. Don't mess with them. Don't deal with them. They're just like the pile of fire ants on the hill. You just stay away. You know you don't play in that area. Whatever. Just don't touch them. Let them be.
Why?
It's like opening up Pandora's box. We're going to go down the wrong rabbit hole. We're going to get us all killed. We're going to ruin the world.
I mean,
trying to play around all these whatever fancy scientific warps and
yeah.
everything.
Charlie's got a point. I mean, if you read comic books, like nothing ever works out well.
Well,
when they go back in time and mess with parallel universes.
Oh, but you're completely fine with AI just taking over everything. Yeah,
don't
that,
poke the
that
bear.
That always
it's just our owner.
That always
it's
ends
our
well.
Own, well, it's not going to end well. But
it's
I'm
not
going to
end well there
I'm
either.
Have
don't poke
fun
the bear.
While it lasts.
Don't poke the bear.
Hour two coming up after this.